Okay,
January 4th.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and...
Winston Planning Commission meeting, May 10th, 2023, 7 p.m.
Okay. You bet. Thomas. Where are the back on the back? Yeah, it is. It's the May 3rd, so I've got to do it.
I've got it real quick. Let me...
I had that one last week. I don't know what I did with it.
I got it.
You got it?
Well, I got to wait for my phone to turn on. Phone's as bad as I am. Slow and
Moses. I know. It's terrible. I don't have the staff report.
Come on.
Script.
My kid passed his finals today.
Yay!
So he's officially a Douglas County deputy.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big day.
Is that Thomas that's on?
It is.
It is. I heard you go, bleep, this is Rex.
Whomever helped with the key duties, thank you very much in advance. Appreciate that.
You haven't got our bill yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could send that to Cindy at City Hall.
So, how's that little one?
You need the agenda.
Fine and feisty.
Or the
doing great.
Commission meeting script.
How's your wife?
She's doing good. She's, we got out this morning, got back at about 10 a.m. She is recovering well. Of course, you know how, I don't know how many of you wives had a C-section, but there's a recovery. So, you know, there's that. But
yeah,
we're doing everything we can to cater to her, but she's quite the trooper. She's just, cranking through it, all the motions.
Yeah.
Being a new mom.
Well, good. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Three more to go, right?
we had three already.
Yeah. Well, you need four, then you can be a real good Mormon.
Oh boy, howdy! I think those days are long past.
I don't know how anyone could have that many.
Thomas, did you send that to me again? Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, I did. I just sent it to you. You should have it in your inbox. I sent it at, you might want to check your junk mail. I've been sending it to...
Junk mail. It usually comes to my inbox, but has not...
Yeah, I've been sending it to rm50dunn@gmail.com.
Yeah, I've been getting them. I have...
That's just a
script. I got the agenda, and I got my script, but I did not get...
I just sent it again at... 703.
Okay. Well, it hasn't hit my inbox yet.
If not, it's okay. It's a two-pager. I can read it to you. The important materials are kind of what was sent before.
Are.
The.
Just...
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
All right. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get this puppy started. So it is May 10th of 2023 at 7 p.m., this meeting is called to order. Let's stand for the oath. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can I get a roll call?
Rex Stevens.
Rob Price.
Renee Morgan.
Cynthia Eastburn.
Steve Johnson.
All right. Any old business?
Not at this time, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, may I also include the fact that Commissioner DeRussia requested to be excused for medical reasons, so he can't attend this evening.
All right, thank you. All right. I'm going to go ahead and have you introduce yourself, and we'll get your name on there before I get too far into this.
Sure. Matt Kittleson here with Kittleson and Associates to talk about the Winston Transportation System Plan.
All right. So I am assuming we don't have any old business to take care of right at the moment?
No.
We're kind of up to date on some of that. So under new business, this is a public hearing for proposed legislative amendments to the Winston Municipal Code, which include implementing an updated transportation system plan and housing needs analysis. These documents are supplemental to the comprehensive plan. Additional changes will include areas to the comprehensive plan associated with transportation and housing in conformance with the applicable statewide planning goals. Planning Department File Number 23-W003. I will now open the public hearing on the city's proposal to adopt a new transportation system plan and housing needs analysis, the supplemental documents to the city's comprehensive plan. If anyone in the audience believes that this item should be heard as quasi-judicial matter rather than a legislative matter, now is the time to address your concerns to the commission. Those wishing to testify, we as the Winston Planning Commission would like to make it clear that anyone in the audience in attendance tonight or who responded during the notice period has the ability to testify on this matter. Thomas, did we have anyone who replied?
We did not, Madam Chair.
Okay, and there is no one in the audience here tonight, Thomas. Okay. The Planning Commission is concerned that this hearing be fair both in substance and in appearance. Therefore, it is important that we establish for the record that all members of the Planning Commission are able to hear and decide this request in a fair and objective manner. Do any members of the Planning Commission have a financial interest on the amendments, which is the subject of this hearing?
No.
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 Do any members wish to disclose any facts which might create the appearance that they may have a conflict of interest, or are otherwise unable to participate in this hearing in a fair and objective manner?
No.
No.
Does any party have an objection to any of the Planning Commission members participating in this hearing? Now that the Planning Commission has been qualified, we will proceed with the hearing. Will staff please present the staff report?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, members of the audience. I will initially defer to Matt Kittleson, Kittleson and Associates, to present a slideshow that he's prepared. I want to do that and preclude it with the fact that we have a very large amount of appreciation for him and his staff, all the time, effort that they have put into getting us to this point. There's just been a lot of work and analysis and meetings and Zooms and just different things that and our team has really came together for this very important plan. And Matt and his group have been kind of intricate to that. So you're going to see a slideshow here that just kind of culminates around the process on, you know, essentially what happened in, well, the last 2 years going through this. And so, Matt, if you're ready, if your slideshow is ready there on the TV, you got that set up, and you can go ahead, take it away.
We're ready. Yeah, thanks, Thomas, and thanks, members of the Planning Commission. Again, Matt Kittleson here to present on the Winston Transportation System Plan. So just as a starting place, this is obviously the Winston project, funded, though, by ODOT. So it's been a great partnership between the city and ODOT on the development of the plan. We'll walk through today how we got to this point, and then what's in the plan, and then how we move forward with it. So As we were talking about before, it's an exciting time to be at the stage where we can start talking about implementation and where we go with this planning document. So starting off, as Thomas was saying, this has been a good process. It takes time to go through the development of a plan like this. We started back kind of early 21 to get to this point, and the timeline is driven by the technical analysis and also stopping for public engagement and input along the way. So we had a total of 3 open houses starting, indicated by here, starting kind of in mid-21, then the end of last year and the first part of this year, just last month. And we stopped at important stages of the project. So first, what are the needs of the project? Are we addressing the right things? And the community have identified the right areas to focus on. The second open house was focused on the projects and elements of the TSP. Do we have those right? Got input from the community. And then the last one was on the whole draft plan. So people had a chance to come along with us as we developed it. And transportation system plan broadly, last was updated, I think, in 2001, early 2000s. I forget now, 99, 2001. So it's definitely in need of update. They're 20-year plans, so we're pretty much at the horizon year of the last plan. Typically, they'd happen every 5 years or so with updates, but they're big documents that take a lot of effort. So this is an important step for the city's comprehensive plan to have this vision for how the transportation system plan can operate and areas to focus on in the future. As was mentioned, this will reside as an element of the comprehensive plan, the transportation element of the comprehensive plan. The TSP itself is organized into 2 volumes. So I was mentioning before, TSPs used to be much longer. That's because we shoved it all into one document. It was really hard to read. Now we took a lot of the background documents and put them into volume 2, so the technical appendices, all the work that we've done along the way, the documentation of how we got to this point. But then the volume 1, the primary document, goes through why we have a TSP, what are the goals and policies of the document, the needs assessment from a high level, and then ultimately gets to what are the projects. We also have a couple attachments, the operational analysis that we conducted that's useful going forward to reference back to, project prospectus sheets, which are really intended to be one-page pullouts of why we have a project, what it's trying to do. They're useful for grant applications to say, this is in the TSP, and you can attach it to something going forward. And then our cost estimate sheets that are also important for that. But we'll walk through these various chapters here and what they say in Winston's document. So the introduction itself is the TSP purpose, why we have it in the first place, the guiding principles and context, the regional context, the community engagement that I just walked through, and then the TSP organization. So it's intended to show people how to get around the TSP when they first open it up. And the document itself, again, it's identifies the transportation facilities and services that we were talking about in the comprehensive plan. That we're creating a transportation system for everybody in the community and serves as an important resource for land use and decision making in the future. So it really is an important document for the city to have as that foundation. And also important, it satisfies the state requirements from a land use goal perspective, TPR and other things like that. Chapter 2 is the goals and policies. So we've had these up a number of times. But broadly, they're addressing accessibility and connectivity, community and economic vitality, equity, health, safety, and security, land use and transportation integration, and mobility. And then there's specific policies underneath that are that we can dive into if you'd like. But the thing that to highlight here is that the transportation system really is more than just moving cars around. It's really how people experience the city. It has a lot to do with safety and security as people move about the system. And acknowledging that in a plan like this is important because it provides an important context. Also, the economic side of things, the freight movement to and from within the community. So all these elements we established up front, and then they've stuck with as we've developed throughout the projects throughout this effort. Chapter 3 is that the needs assessment. So there's lots of really exciting memos about transportation infrastructure and things like that. But really, Chapter 3 summarizes it from a high level. within the document itself about how things operate today, where the sidewalks are, where the gaps are, what the population is today, what those forecasts are, what we're trying to serve with the transportation system, which it creates essentially that baseline that we're jumping off from. So it's that moment in time analysis that serves as the basis for the TSP needs now and in the future. And we one just note, because I think it's an important context. So Winston traffic forecast is done through the Roseburg travel demand model. So there's a regional model that projects traffic focused on employment and population growth in the region. I think that's useful to understand because it's a coordinated effort of how people move about the region, not just within Winston. Obviously, there's a lot of interaction back and forth between the communities in this area. So that's part of how we're forecasting growth in Winston as well.
Is that done through the county?
Actually, ODOT owns the models.
Oh.
And manages the models. Yeah, so they do that throughout the state. Not everywhere has models, so it's useful that Roseburg in Winston area does.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Chapter 4 is what we call creating multimodal systems. So really this is the regulatory and system elements, kind of the, it's not needs and not projects, but really how the system should operate. So this is where the functional classification system resides, the jurisdictional map of who owns what roads, where there's a freight system in town, and spoiler alert, it's pretty much the highway system is the freight system in town, where there's bridges. We have to address air, rail, and pipeline system, not terribly significant at Winston, which is a good thing. Sometimes those create challenges when you have rail going right through the middle of town. The highway causes enough of that for the town, so we focused on that. And then vehicle performance metrics, which is an update now that we'll talk about as we get into this, about just how the system should operate. The street jurisdiction, a quick overview of that, because I think it is interesting, is everything yellow is the city of Winston. Everything orange is ODOT, so more or less the 42 coming through town. 99 south is actually a county road, so everything green is county. Looking Glass is also county. So some of the primary roads really are, and then also Brockway on the western side of the community. The city and the county, though, do have an urban area agreement about how we manage those, so the city standards are important for those roads. But it's important to, I think the takeaway here is that the system within Winston, like many communities, really ends up being a partnership amongst the city, county, and ODOT. And that certainly has been the approach throughout this, is to make all parties engage on this.
Does Winston Section Road, does it stop county jurisdiction at Thompson, or is it before that?
It's right, it kind of, it, over here on Winston Section, it's right, it kind of, it comes into the, as it comes into the city, it becomes city.
Okay.
Here. Yeah, but then it jumps to county, and then Pepsi Road is up there is county. And the county just updated their TSP. Their maps are very small near Winston, so we are squinting and trying to get everything right, but I think this is accurate for where things are. Functional classification, so this is the hierarchy of roads. Arterial roads are the major roads, really. Everything that's an arterial in Winston is a highway. Major collectors and residential collectors are the orange and the blue. Those are the primary roads that people use to circulate around around the community. So obviously Looking Glass, Brockway, Thompson, Winston Section, as we mentioned, and then some of the north-south roads that go through the neighborhoods. There is a couple recommendations through the TSP here. One is that Abraham Road be downgraded to a residential collector from a major collector, and that's something we've talked about throughout. Really, it's because that's how it's operating today. And if you look at the map here, Looking Glass is the major collector, and then the residential collectors are connecting between these higher order facilities of Looking Glass and 42. So there's not a significant change to the standards, but really it's just in a notification of how the road would operate. Slightly narrower right-of-way and traveling widths that would happen, which would help slow speeds through the more residential area of Abraham as it's redeveloped over time.
Yeah, because that concerns me, changing it, because that's the way of the growth of the city is that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the population's going. So by downgrading it now, eventually we may have to upgrade it, right?
Maybe, but some of these roads I don't think there would ever be, in my view, I don't think there would be the need to upgrade it, because what you'd happen is a lot of the development that's happening along there is currently residential. You have those residential properties that front the street. I think that context is one that would say we want this road, no matter what's developed around there, to operate with a little bit slower speeds, a little bit less of a thoroughfare. Really, you're coming through there. If you're on Abraham, you're most likely going to be going to Looking Glass or going to 42. But if you're coming down 42, there's going to be a few people that cut along here, but if they probably already had cut across up here at Looking Glass. So really it's that, you consider kind of that road that's going to distribute people out to these bigger network, where we wouldn't want it to be a really fast thoroughfare road. People can make that trip, but just not at 40 miles an hour. It's going to be,
and you don't see that difference on Thompson Street with the school being on Thompson Street, huh?
Thompson, well, we do have a project on Thompson to make it be a slower road for people to walk down and bike down, have more facilities for people biking and walking. But looking at Thompson, it really serves, if you're looking at the east side of the highway, it serves as that, I'll call it a Looking Glass, right? You're getting people to the highway. All these residential areas are using the residential collectors to get to Thompson and then connected to the highway. And that's really how we see these roads here with between the highways is operating that way.
Okay.
So, it's not going to change the function of the road today, but it's going to allow, as you redevelop it, as you restripe it, to create a little bit of a narrower lane so that you can use the space a little bit more effectively and not end up with really wide roads, especially with people. Again, I think people fronting it as a residential street has a big impact on that.
Yeah.
There's also a federal functional classification list that's maintained by the feds. The TSP is a good time to go through and just align, make sure that the federal functional classification aligns with the county classification, aligns with the city classification. So no major changes there other than we'll make some modifications to the federal system to align with what's already in Winston. So it's really, I'll call it a bookkeeping exercise to make sure that things align the way that they're supposed to. Things get out of whack over 23, 40 years as things change. The street improvement standards are also noted here. We're not specifically citing them because, again, kind of from a bookkeeping perspective, the city maintains those in the development standards in the municipal code. So they're included by reference in the TSP, and that's on purpose so that when something changes in one place, you don't have to go change it in another place. It's just there by reference. But obviously those are important. They tie to the functional classification of the roads. Access spacing standards. Obviously ODOT has their own access spacing standards that we note, same way in here in Douglas County as well. The city currently does not have access spacing standards. It's something that's never been formally established. So the TSP recommends access spacing standards, which would say for collector roads, 300 feet between intersections and 100 feet between driveways and intersections, meaning you couldn't put a driveway right on the corner of an intersection. We'd want that spacing anyways. The city would already try to make that happen, but can be without the regulatory mechanism to absolutely require beyond suggesting to a developer that happens. So this makes that Thomas and his team can come in and say, hey, you cannot put your driveway right on the corner because we have a standard that says you shouldn't, as opposed to now it's more of a, we have to suggest and push and prod. The same with local streets, 200 feet between intersections, and then 50 feet between driveways and intersections. And it's one thing to note, it's between driveways and intersections, not between driveways themselves. Obviously, residential streets will have driveways frequently. We're trying to keep away from the corners of the intersections.
And I know most of the streets, especially on the older side of town, are not at that level. You know, they're barely wide enough to get a wagon cart through, without sidewalks even.
And the access spacing things and a lot of things in the TSP are not, and it's a good reminder of the long range element of the plan, is that these are setting it up so that over time the city can move towards these. But a lot of these efforts, especially with access, they take a lot of time because, just look at 42, it's something that ODOT is focused on. Even the project that they had just recently with sidewalks, you're not going to solve everything. It takes redevelopment of property, which really takes decades to accomplish. Yeah. But the first one redevelops, you put the access in the right spot, the next one redevelops, then you kind of get a little closer. So it's this incremental step, but it's important to have these things written down now so that we can move towards that and have the mechanisms that have the foresight as opposed to just that one-off thing that might not have the vision.
You don't want a lot of maybes and ifs and can we or could we.
Right.
If we can just put it in there and have a nice solid backbone to what we need to do.
Exactly. Yep.
So these are the standards that are set now that we're looking at 10 or 15 years down the line for the growth of the city, right?
Yeah, or when a development application comes in,
right,
it would apply to that. So, and this is in the implementation memo. This also creates some perimeter standards, things like that. Things that Thomas and his team are already doing, but again, just creates that backbone
right
to it. Also, a vehicular performance metric. So this goes with something I'll talk about later, which is the city right now has a very loose traffic impact analysis requirement. So if a development comes in, it says, well, you can kind of make sure you meet the state codes, but really nothing from a local perspective. And so what we've included in the TSP implementation guidelines is a set of things that was reside in the municipal code that says this is when a traffic impact analysis is required for a development, and this is what it should include. So there's a threshold, and I think it's about essentially like a 30 home subdivision or more would require it. Mm-hmm. Anything less than that would say we know that it gives a clear and objective guideline for the city to say it was required because it was more than this, or it wasn't required because it was less than this. So it creates a clear and objective line. But to do that, you have to have a standard of how you want your system to operate. So we're recommending in the TSP to have a level service E. And it's kind of, the level service has been around a long time in the transportation analysis world. Level service E is not F. F is failing. E is more than not failing. We picked that on purpose. You can create a standard that's so high that everything requires mitigation, everything requires a wider intersection. What we're trying to say is, level service E, if you get to that point, it would be, hey, we're going to have a traffic problem, we need to talk about a solution there. But not so stringent that it's a barrier to development or requiring really wide roads that might contradict some of these other things that we want to have in here. So the city currently doesn't have a standard, so this is creating, again, that objective guideline for people of this is how we want things to operate. And I can tell you right now, nothing in the city is operating at level service E on the city system. ODOT has their own standards that already govern the highway as well. Chapter 5 is the solutions. So this is all the intersection projects that will go through, the street projects, pedestrian projects, transit projects, etc. So we're looking at through these. The intersection projects are really focused, the needs are at the intersection level or at the highway. So 42 Looking Glass and Pepsi up here as you come into town. ODOT and the city work closely on this. It was what we heard most about, as you can imagine. Looking Glass and 42 is identified as a safety project as well. There's crashes there that occur. The 42 Expressway Plan previously identified this as a need, so the Expressway Plan comes out of Green into town and kind of stopped right about here. It recommended that plan that 40, the Looking Glass and Pepsi intersections be realigned together. I think there's a strong feeling that might not be the best solution at this point in time, but ODOT has a specific process that they would need to go through to reevaluate what's in that other plan. So more or less, the city TSP says we need to look at these intersections with ODOT in the future, and that's an important step to highlight and say, yeah, we should be doing this. It's a little bit of a step-by-step process. You know, if it was the city, we could say, hey, we want to do this. But with ODOT, we say, we want to engage with ODOT on this process to accomplish an outcome. So that's the step-by-step approach to that. But Looking Glass in 42 and Pepsi are certainly highlighted as needs, and next steps there create a lot of opportunity to move forward with ODOT. Also tied to the Looking Glass corridor itself that I'll talk about here later, but I think those two things can go together, the intersection and the corridor itself. We also have Brockway in 42. ODOT's currently evaluating and designing a roundabout there because it's a safety, it shows up on their safety analysis because of its crash history. So it's currently in the design phase, no dollars yet for construction, but another one there that certainly has a safety and capacity need going forward.
With no money tied into it yet, so we're probably, what, 10 years out?
So it's one of those things, the design gets it a lot closer because you can, with all the money flowing with the infrastructure bills that have been passed at the federal level, Douglas County is going to be moving forward with a safety action plan that will potentially include these areas. Those kind of things create, when you have a design plan and it shows up on these, a design project and it shows up on these plans, it makes it eligible for a lot of funding for implementation. So nothing guaranteed, but you're in a much better spot than pie in the sky. We'd like to have it. You actually have some concrete things to move forward with at that stage. The store there has been challenging, from my understanding, just to make sure we're not impacting the store. So that's what ODOT's been focusing on, is how to design an intersection there without impacting the historic store.
Well, you know, that store has been moved so many times because actually it wasn't on that corner. It used to be across the road completely in that field.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe we should move it back.
That's
that's above my pay grade for this.
Yeah.
So street projects, I mentioned the Looking Glass Corridor. I think this is a really important project for the city going forward, and ODOT and the city have already been talking about ways to potentially fund this next step. So Looking Glass itself, everyone we talk to, everything we show on here, everything kind of funnels to Looking Glass. From a vehicle perspective, from a people walking, biking, it connects people to and along a lot of amenities. Anyone that's gone down Looking Glass one time knows it's very constrained. It kind of sits on the side of a hill. So how you improve that going forward is a question that needs to be answered through really focused design effort and evaluation effort. I'll just give you an example of that. Do you try to put sidewalks and bike lanes on both sides of the road? That could be challenging. It could be expensive. It changes along the corridor. Or do you try to create a wider sidewalk that would function more like a path on one side of the road that people can walk and bike and have a place to be? Then where do you need to put crossings so that people can get to that path on both sides of the road? So really ending up with a focused corridor study along the Looking Glass, I think is a really important amenity for the city going forward, because that road, as you were talking about growth, Looking Glass just becomes more important than it already is.
Yeah.
Not just to and from the community, but within the community, getting along those neighborhoods that reside to the south.
Yeah, and while you have a sidewalk on one side, you don't have hardly even room to walk on the other side.
Yeah.
And for the city to put in sidewalks, like on my side of Looking Glass.
Oh, you're on the north side?
I'm just right up here on Looking Glass, so basically the sidewalk would be right outside my front door.
Yeah.
In order to move all of that this way. And so it would do the same thing to my neighbor. But to walk on our side of the street, you don't have maybe, 2 feet maybe,
Yeah.
You have to cross the street and you have to walk on the sidewalk. So it's definitely something that needs to be worked on.
Yeah, and that's what you're describing is exactly why we wanted to take I'll call it a softer approach in the TSP. The TSP could come in and say, we just need to build it out to city standards. But I think that's missing the point of the challenges we're talking about. So we're saying this needs to be its own project to go in and say, what should this road look like? And have a public process around it. I don't think a long-range plan is the right place to come in and design a road at this stage, because we're trying to say what needs to happen, but there needs to be a focused project where people understand what's happening to have that conversation. And then I think that ultimately ties into the intersection as well. So those could potentially go together. That's been something that we've talked about and how that actually gets done. Some projects related to some safe routes to school work around close to McGovern Avenue with some speed feedback signs to slow people down from those crossings there by the school. Thompson Avenue, I mentioned the project there to look at the same kind of thing with Thompson Avenue to slow people down as they're going. It's just a big wide road, a lot of asphalt there. So how can when you think about slowing people down, people say, oh, just put up a bump or something like that. But people, you'd be surprised how fast people really go over a bump. So really you slow people down by making the road feel like you should drive it slower. So how can we redesign that road to make it work better? And then the same thing around the corner there as people go in and out of the Winston section, Thompson Avenue. And then a number of projects in this, with this, considering the Looking Glass project, you can see the importance of all these sidewalk infill projects are really getting people either to 42 or to Looking Glass. So those become the primary east-west corridors, and then all these sidewalk infill projects get people north-south between them. And the same thing on the east side of the highway, the other side of the city here, is getting people sidewalk infill projects that get people to these primary east-west roads that can connect to downtown, things like that. And then also a shared, really improving and expanding upon the shared use path that's along 42 near the high school. It's just a curve today, so how can we create some actual separation for people using that, which there's a number of people that use it, getting to from school or just for recreation as well. And sidewalk infill is another thing. That when you look at the cost of the TSP projects, a lot of it's in sidewalk infill. That's where a lot of the investment, I think, can and should happen, but it's going to take time. It's one of those things where there's a lot of gaps. And what we're identifying here is not every sidewalk gap, but the primary ones that would create that backbone network so people can walk around the community and have a place to do it, not on the shoulder or in the road. So that's what you see here. Also, places for additional street crossings. So the light blue are existing crossings, and the dark blue are future crossings that would tie to the ends of the sidewalk infill so that people can get across the road as well.
Most of this money that will become available for these projects in the future will be probably matching grants, right?
A lot of them are. Some of them aren't. Depends. So Safe Routes to School, for example, sometimes there's not those matching grants.
Okay.
But yeah, some of them are for sure. And then same with the bicycle network. The bicycle network is a mix of facilities. Obviously, the multi-use paths play an important role for people to be able to ride their bikes along those as well. Bike lanes long-term as Brockway redevelops, obviously very narrow and rural over time, but again, that forward-looking, as that redevelops, what do we want that road to look like and how do we want it to operate? And then some of these other roads here, Abraham, and some of the other north-south roads are looking at really consistent with city standards, marking them as shared road facilities so that people would have the markings to know that bikes are going to be using the same lanes as cars. And for example, like right by McGovern, there's on-street parking right there. To get a bike lane in, you'd have to take out all the parking. And so that's that trade-off that the city has to weigh of parking or bike lanes. But the reality is that there's not a lot of traffic on there today. And having a clear understanding that bikes and cars can use the same spot has a big impact on the safety of bikes being willing to use space and take lanes where they're actually the safest is right in the middle of the lane. Or, you know, young kids would still probably use sidewalks and things. That's what my kids do, at least. You got to take your life in your hands when they're riding their bikes down there. And then long-range transportation, transit planning as well. The transit, Umpqua Public Transit District just updated their master plan. There's a number of routes that go through the city. The TSP makes recommendations for modifying those to have better service to the east side of town, which it currently doesn't have, and then also incorporating what we call a mobility hub. So mobility hub is a new term in transportation. Essentially, it means a spot where a bus could come and you could have a spot to park your bike, you could have a spot to be dropped off, so people would be able to get to move between modes a little bit easier. There's no specific location identified for that, but something for the city to consider going forward is, can you incorporate something like that into the city? There's also the possibility of including something like electric vehicle charging. That's becoming a much bigger focus. There's lots of dollars for that. Actually, Winston being within a mile of I-5 makes it eligible for a lot of funding for that, because I-5 is a primary corridor for electric vehicle charging. So something to consider going forward of how do you add something like that to the central part of the city can create economic development opportunities as people going down the highway looking for a spot, like they get gas, stop and charge even. So bring people into the community while they wait for something like that to happen. Go get a bike to eat or shop, something along those lines.
With that being a transportation thing, could you add something like a park and ride like Portland has at it?
Yeah, so someone could come. So the buses, you look at these routes coming in and out of Winston. Yeah. So that mobility hub could have parking as well for someone to catch in, ride back into Roseburg, go work, something like that. Yeah. Sisters is actually, we're helping Sisters right now where they're doing something like this. And if you've been to the Central Oregon area, a lot of the kids in Sisters work at Blackfeet Ranch or Hoodoo Ski Resort. So one of the things the city's considering is we're going to build this hub where there's parking, there's spots for buses to stop, and then an employer could send a van to pick up workers to be able then to get to their job. So in that scenario, one of Winston's biggest advantages, it's small communities like Sisters. Kids could ride their bikes and workers could ride their bikes, park their bikes in a secure facility, and then ride the bus to their job. They never needed a car to get to work. So those type of opportunities are things that are just becoming more of a reality, especially with electric bikes, things like that. People can move around a lot easier anymore. So how we get people to places and let them transfer to other modes of transportation. But the TSP acknowledges, I'll just say, the automobile is and will continue to be the primary mode of transportation for people in the community. But creating and providing these options for people just does exactly that, creates more options for people to get around that are more than just a car. So funding, spoiler alert, there's not a lot of funding for capital projects. That's true of a lot of communities. Really, the city's operating at a net zero scenario year by year, which is great, but what that means is that there's not a lot of leftover dollars to go build these projects. It's an important determination to make in the TSP because then it makes grant funding a lot more enticing to say, hey, we need to do this to do these projects. So the funding chapter documents that. Also lists possible funding sources that we'll talk about here in a second. But just overall, you're looking at about that $40 to $50 million range for the capital projects for a 20-year plan. So those, you know, you're chipping them off year by year. Incremental approach to try to infill some of these projects, do some of these crossings, partner with agencies on different elements of it. Various funding sources. So the city has some opportunity. There already are SDCs, general obligation bonds, street utility fees. Those are some of the local funding sources. Project-specific ones, these are the grants you'd apply for. State grants, there are safety grants, all road transportation safety, safe routes to school. The IIJA is the federal infrastructure bill, so we try to list a number of them, but they change all the time, you know, with what's available. Again, it's having the projects identified, which is what's most important. So that's the plan itself, and then the implementation side of it, there's a memo that's also included that Thomas is using for a staff report, and then some of the things that will be part of the adoption. Really amending the TSP into the comprehensive plan, that's step one of it. And then also into having some amendments to the comprehensive plan itself, the TSP then residing as an element of the comprehensive plan, and then specific amendments to the development code that implement these things that we were talking about, access spacing standards and TIA standards and things like that. So a number of things in here, again, just ensuring with the comp plan itself, ensuring consistency with the new TSP, new updated findings, policy statements that are consistent with what's in the goals and objectives that we talked about, taking out the old TSP and putting it in to where the new one should reside, adopting the comprehensive plan by reference, et cetera. So lots of just nuts and bolts to get these in the right places in the city's documents. And then the subdivision and zoning code documents, there's specific elements on cul-de-sacs, which is a really standard thing these days to say, look, don't build a cul-de-sac unless you absolutely have to build a cul-de-sac. Streets should go to and through development. Again, that's something we want to have happen, but it gives us the actual teeth to say, don't build a cul-de-sac unless you're up against the side of a hill. You should, and if you do, you should have a path that goes through the end of it, those type of things. There's some really crazy graphics you see in the transportation world of two houses that are right back-to-back from each other. But it's, you know, a 3-mile walk to get to the other house because nothing connects. So we're trying to avoid the situation where nothing connects. The block size requirements that I mentioned, those are tied to the access spacing standards, making sure that we have block sizes that make sense that avoid those issues. The traffic impact study that I mentioned, on-site circulation for new development, saying that you should have on-site circulation within developments itself. You should have places for people to walk within parking lots, things like that, so that, again, when we get developments that come in, we say, this is what we want to look. We want people to be able to move about it, not have a bunch of barriers to it. I think I talked through most of these things. So the cul-de-sac I talked about, there are places for deviations, but the standard is we don't want cul-de-sacs unless we have to have them. Block spacing is 600 feet long. And then I mentioned the access spacing standard. And then there's also the driveway consolidation requirements. So the stuff I talked about, saying that if there's two access points, one development, is if it gets redeveloped, it creates a new access that's close to the border of those two, the property line, and then you create a shared access easement between the two properties, and then when the one develops next to it, you can get rid of one access and use the shared access, you know, that incremental approach over time to redevelop and try to consolidate access points as much as possible, particularly on the highways.
This doesn't in any way make it more difficult to, on a one-on-one basis with the Planning Commission and a single landowner, we can still use a CUP and not have to worry so much about this, right?
Yeah, you still have broad flexibility on things like this. And a lot of times, where we're dealing with access, it's on ODOT standards. It's on the ODOT system anyways. A lot of them, honestly, is on 42. But it just helps to, it gives you some teeth to say, we're not going to have four access points along Abraham when something goes in, something like that. So, as I mentioned, the traffic impact study, so it creates that clear and objective standard for when something's required, when it's not, and then what that approval criteria would be, the pedestrian walkways, and then the other documents are the transportation improvements, as permitted use, the TPR findings, so the transportation planning rule, the statewide findings, and then some other things for the city to have transportation improvements be a condition of approval tied to the TIA, the transportation impact analysis. So I think this will, it probably won't rear its head very often, but when it does, when you have an application that traffic is an issue, it's going to give the city a really firm standing for what was required, why, and then what the impacts are. So you have that. When neighbors show up concerned about traffic, you want to have a solid answer that it's been looked at. This is the answer. This is why it's okay, or this is what the impact was, and this is what the mitigation is to address it. So that's the system that we'll be setting up.
With this system that we're adopting, what should we look at it about every 5 years in order if we need to make upgrades or changes? Is that about every 5 years?
Yeah, the plan itself, typically it's a good idea to refresh your TSP every 5 years. This is a really holistic update, and we started from scratch.
Yeah.
Ideally, you'd be doing more tweaks, and those can happen in real time.
Yeah.
You can, Thomas or other people can come in and say, hey, this road that we were planning, it's now going to be here because X, Y, Z. We learned something new through development or city plan. So it is intended and should be a living document that gets revised as better information becomes available. But it is good to go through, do traffic counts, look at crashes, see if there's other needs that you didn't know about, or if something gets built, what would you do now because something gets built? Does that create another need? So it's a good idea to come back to it and refresh it periodically.
Yeah, we as a body come back and look at it every 5 years or whenever we need to make an update or something.
Yeah, and then there's some other things in there with the adoption support staff, some of the things that you see now, some good stuff in there is on that. So that, in a nutshell, is the crash course on the TSP. Obviously, comments from the Planning Commission tonight, ultimately your ability to review it and then make a consideration to City Council, who then will consider it for adoption and then move forward with the fun part, which is the implementation. So I'll stop there. I think now turn it to Thomas for some other items and then open up for discussion.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that slideshow presentation. I've been refreshing myself on it the last couple of days. Very intricate and detailed, although doesn't nearly cover the amount of work that went into this thing in the last couple of years, especially on your part. So again, thank you for the effort. Just want to echo some of the areas that were looked at. You know, the overarching plan or consistency of the plan is to look and say, what are the issues in the city with the transportation system? Now let's get justification and analysis behind it so we can say, yeah, because everybody in the city that lives on Looking Glass or Thompson or wherever, you see it. From an anecdotal standpoint, you see it, you know there's conflicts. But the TSP is a real good opportunity to use sound engineering data to put justification behind it so we can go after funding to correct it. I mean, there is funding out there. And one of the things that Matt said that I think really resonates here is the amount of money that we get internally that we're able to only use on streets. And just to manage expectations in that regard, because I had a very large role in budgeting this year, the city's budget. So our money, the only money that we can use that we're capable of using on streets internally comes from the state gas tax. The gas stations that are used, they're taxed, and the state gathers that money, and it's divvied up based on population. Well, we get a grand total of, I think, $264,000. I think it's in that neighborhood. Every 2 years, we get money from ODOT because of the streets that their streets under their jurisdiction that go through our city, which I think equates to about $205,000. So that's not very much at all. So that makes plans like this, the TSP, just so much more imperative, because we're going to fix these problems, we're going to kind of live and die on grant money. To get the grant money, this is engineering data and analysis that we really need to have. A few of the things I want to kind of echo is the update to the TSP is really an opportunity to look at procedurally what's deficient. And there are a few things that you have to do, especially when development comes in and it's going to place a very intensified amount of additional traffic. So Matt mentioned the traffic impact analysis. You know, we've been requiring that. The most recent case back in 2016 would be the Abraham RV Park. We required it, but it's not in our TSP or our comp plan. So technically, we didn't necessarily have the teeth to require it. Well, that's something to visit when we're doing an update. We got to look at it and factor it in, because when a large development is going in, 300 additional daily trips, or like Matt was saying, 30 homes or more, like a 30-lot subdivision or like an RV park, something very large, we want to take a look and we want to have them do their own individual traffic impact analysis. To do that, we need criteria to go with it. Well, I think the language we have is exactly what the city needs, the tools that we need to protect the system in any area when you see a large development that's being proposed. Other areas of the code, for example, that he mentioned, like spacing, and those were just necessities that weren't in there. And, they probably weren't being contemplated at the time, our last TSP. They didn't make it in. Well, with this particular plan, we're going to have all of those really intricate requirements in there. So we can go to that well when a development comes forward, and we can require it, place it as a condition of approval. The other thing I want to just kind of reiterate is that as we're, trying to get over the goal line with the plan and implement it, the overarching goal is, how can we now take this and package it up and really do a robust approach to grant funding opportunities? It's there. We have it. It's a really sound plan. And we have strategies that allow us to approach funding sources. And that's exactly the goal. That's the intent once we get past that. The other thing I'd like to share with the commission before I do a couple of housekeeping items is, as part of this public hearing, we're looking at the transportation system plan update, but we are also factoring in the housing needs analysis. Of course, that was a plan unto itself. Steve Faust, 3J Consulting, doing an amazing job on that, concluding we have that as an adoption package. It's been put together and placed before the body of the commission for your consideration. And the goal there is to help give us an idea of our housing stock existing and 20 years from now in order to understand how to approach our urban growth boundary situation. So we vetted that out in pretty good detail, I think, in previous meetings. But I didn't want it to elude the commission that the HNA is also being considered in this particular meeting. A couple of housekeeping items I want to place before you, because in any regard, this is a public hearing process, and we have plans to where there are Oregon revised statutes and administrative rules on how you orchestrate and process these plans. And so we'd like to declare a few things for the record. Number one, the notice of these amendments were submitted to the Department of Land Conservation Development, or DLCD, on March 31st, 2023, which was at least 35 days prior to the public hearing today on May 10th. The notice of the proposed legislative amendments was sent to interested individuals, agencies, and utility providers on April 20th, 2023. And the notice of the public hearing was also sent to the Planning Commission on April 20th, along with staff report materials. The notice of the proposed legislative amendments was also posted through a legal notice by the News Review on April 20th, 2023, of the public hearing tonight. The final draft of the staff report was emailed to you May 3rd and mailed out May 3rd, 2023. You now have, as a options before you today, Planning Commission, three options. Alternative number one is that you approve and forward a recommendation of approval of the proposed legislative amendments to the comprehensive plan and adopt the new transportation system plan and housing needs analysis, and forward that recommendation of approval and findings to the Winston City Council for a public hearing before that body. The second option is you can approve the amendments with some requested modifications of any kind. The third, you can take no action and you can request a continuance to further review the material before you. That concludes my staff report. I'm happy to take any questions.
Was there any surprises in this study that didn't actually show up, but they were still a surprise to either you or Matt?
Surprises? No, I mean, those of us that have really kind of been plugged into the work in the community, listening to the citizens, you know, just kind of the different issues that have culminated around the city throughout the previous years, we all understand where the issues are, and I think that this plan just really did a good job of giving credence to, you know, pulling out of Looking Glass or Brockway and 42, or, you know, the spacing or the driveway issues on Looking Glass traveling east-west, but also just in any regard, a plethora of deficiencies in street right-of-way width, sidewalks, curbs, all throughout the city. So I think in terms of surprises, I mean, the nuances of the plan are there. We feel that, and just to echo what Matt was saying, this plan is definitely, you can categorize it as being wholesome because it is so comprehensive in nature, it just covers the city in a significant regard in terms of needs and assessment.
So basically it solidified everything you already knew.
And expounded on anything that maybe we weren't tracking on.
Right.
I mean, it's an engineering analysis is exactly what we need to take the next step from a transportation standpoint.
I concur with Thomas. The one thing I'll add, ODOT, I think, was a little surprised that 42 and 99 didn't pop up as a future need. I wasn't, the more I thought about it, I'm not terribly surprised because it's a pretty big intersection today.
Yeah.
So we're not, and I guess that's something we didn't talk about because it's not on there, but we're not suggesting making that any bigger. In fact, I think Looking Glass provides a really important parallel route to that in the future, and the improvement there, I think, addresses anything that would potentially happen. Mm-hmm. But in terms of surprises, our folks over ODOT did say that to me once. I was really surprised
that
it popped up there, and I go, I don't think we want it any bigger. So, you know, because you take out everything around it to make it bigger, but that's, in terms of surprises, that's one thing that comes to mind for me.
Are we talking about where we're pulling out of Looking Glass going on to 99? Is that where you're referring?
Well, I was talking about the 4299 traffic signal there not being.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it does get busy in the future, but it's busy's okay. Busy means people are coming through, right? Yeah. The last thing you want is a not busy road, but it's able to handle what goes through there.
Was there any kind of input either one of you received from the county on this at all?
The county reviewed everything, participated in most of our meetings. They were doing a TSP at the same time. They just had it adopted. Thomas can chime in. I think it was the end of last year they adopted their TSP. So everything that we're doing, they were looking at it from a consistency standpoint. So everything was very supportive and collaborative on that front.
That's good to know.
Yeah. A couple of years ago when I was leaving the county, I was engaged in working on there because they were doing the same kind of TSP update. But as you know, transitioning over to the city, I kind of stopped caring about that plant, got involved in ours. And in concert with that, I think that they work together. Their public works representatives and different venues were involved. And in terms of feedback, it was more just intricate involvement. That's it in that regard.
Okay, are there any final questions from Planning Commission? Anybody? Okay.
How many pages is the whole thing going to end up being, the TSP?
So the volume one or volume one and two?
One and two combined.
Oh, gosh. So I think volume one is, with the attachments, is probably, I think the actual text of volume one is right around somewhere in the 50 to 80 page range. The attachments are, there's a sheet for every project. Mm-hmm. So that probably puts it in the 100 plus page range. And then volume two is a couple hundred pages.
Yeah.
Because it's all the tech memos. It's a real put you to sleeper, volume two. But there's a lot of backup there. So it's a hefty amount of pages. But the actual core of it, which we try to capture, what we're doing is in volume one, which is a lot more concise.
And these are just going to be added into the comp plan as a supplemental.
Yeah. And they typically reside on the city's website independently. Because people want to pull those things out and look at it. They want to shift through a comp plan to find it, but it will reside technically as the element of the comp plan.
Yeah. Last month, before we had the meeting up at the community center, all of those things were sent to me, and I was reviewing and looking through it, and I was just getting ready to hit, I'm tired of looking at the screen, I'm going to push print. And then I started looking, and I'm going, 301 pages?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it'll drain your ink. There's no doubt about it.
But yeah, it was very, very precise, and there was some items in it that I wasn't really expecting from TSPs, and a lot of those were the outlines of the projects. You actually went into the engineering, gave some cost analysis and things like that, things to attach to any proposed plan that we have going forward in the future. It just take a little bit of updates and stuff. And I was surprised you guys had done all that. That was a heck of a lot of work.
You have to remember, and I haven't seen one of these since
2003. Yep.
So well, this is, and it certainly wasn't as in depth as yours is.
This was very comprehensive.
Well, I'm going to say something that Thomas can verify. So Miranda Barris in my office would usually be here with me. She is an amazing engineer, does a lot of detail work, so I will give her proper due that she did a lot of the great work we're talking about.
It was really amazing.
Miranda was a very big part of the team. I understand she's probably not attending the meeting tonight, but definitely should get recognition for a lot of tireless hours behind those numbers. So appreciate her.
Yeah, and then we work closely with Virginia at ODOT as well. And just we mentioned before, but sometimes there's the local state relationship can be challenging, but I can say that in this scenario, we do a lot of these plans. She's really great. A lot of great partnership from ODOT, so it's a good spot to be because obviously county ODOT, as we mentioned, having this be in concert and lockstep going forward just helps the community get where they need to go. There's a big contention about something. It makes it hard because you have to align that before you move forward. But everything in the plan ODOT was very supportive of, and especially even looking at Looking Glass going forward is certainly something that they understand the need for.
This project has I put in more time and effort reading this and figuring things out and writing notes and studying things and actually looking at some of these places, physically looking at them, I think, than just about any other project in the last 18 years I've been on the Planning Commission.
Good.
And, I mean, hours. And it was interesting. And looking forward and knowing that this is what we've got to build on, you know. That's what kept me driving on this.
It's definitely been an education.
Yeah.
It really has, yeah.
And you want an internship this summer? We could push it forward.
and one of the things that I looked at is our current TSP, while a lot of it is outdated and most definitely needed this upgrade, but the projects that we did, they were good.
They were.
And this right here took those into consideration, and even though it may not have gotten complete, it was still there, and it was still valid. And this right here just kind of stepped it up a little bit more. But having all the different reports and engineering things is going to make it so much easier when we go to get those grants, especially when it comes to sidewalks and bicycles and multimodal type transport and stuff. And it's going to make things a lot easier for our planner.
Okay. Well, do I have a motion to close the hearing?
So moved.
Sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, I remembered to have us vote this time. Okay, and then we need to...
either have a motion to adopt it.
Yes. So, do I have a motion to adopt any of the three?
So, Madam Chair, alternative one would be... the Planning Commission is a recommending body in this regard, so your motion for, if you're looking at alternative one, your motion would be to forward a recommendation of approval for the legislative amendments to City Council.
Okay. Yeah, my phone died right in the middle of all of this, so now I can't even look at my report. So do I have a motion for alternative number one?
I'll make that a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now, do we need names on that roll call on the vote?
I think. I'm taking notes. I got it all down.
Okay.
All right. So, do we have any other business that we need to deal with tonight?
None, Madam Chair.
Anything for the good of the order?
Just thank you for everything you've done, for moving us forward, and all your help in answering a lot of questions.
And thanks for the chance. It's personally important to me. As I mentioned before, I have family in the area. My dad grew up nearby, so it's been a really fun project for me, and one that's personally pretty special to work on. So thanks for the chance to do it. I've enjoyed it quite a bit.
Thank you.
Well, now your next step is you have to do the same thing for the city council, right?
Yeah. You can come to that too.
Moral support.
Yeah.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So adjourn.
All right.
I knew I should have put my phone on the charger this time. Well, I took an extra day off, which I should not have done. So I've been communicating with the restaurant all day long.
I'm kind of switch them all. I'm a little sad this is over because I have learned a lot from it, you know.
Yeah.
Now we just get to implement it. What do we do? Yes.
Well, you'll learn more through that too.
But we
that's
still
the
have
thing.
The industrial.
Okay.
Yeah, and we
hang
still
up
got
the phone.
The other part of the transportation. Housing needs analysis.
Meeting adjourned at 8:10.
The county got funding too for, as I was mentioning, is Transportation Safety Action Plan.
Oh.
I don't know if it will. I think it's going to include the city,